प्रभुपाद की
जय।
अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की
जय।
अंतराय श्रीमद् भागवत धाम की
जय।
गौर प्रेम नंदी Canto 3, chapter 26, text number 72. Tamasmin pratyagatmanam.
Tamasmin pratyagatmanam.
Dhiya yoga pravittaya.
Dhiya yoga pravittaya.
Bhaktya virakya jnanena.
Bhaktya virakya jnanena.
Vividyatmani chintayat. Tamasmin pratyagatmanam.
Tamasmin pratyagatmanam.
Dhiya yoga pravrittaya.
Dhiya yoga pravrittaya.
Bhaktya virakya jnanena.
Bhaktya virakya jnanena.
Vividyatmani chintayat.
Vividyatmani chintayat.
Tamasmin pratyagatmanam.
Tamasmin pratyagatmanam.
Dhiya yoga pravrittaya.
Dhiya yoga pravrittaya.
Bhaktya virakya jnanena.
Bhaktya virakya jnanena.
Vividyatmani chintayat.
Vividyatmani chintayat.
Upon him,
asmin,
in this,
pratyagatmanam,
the super soul,
with the mind,
yoga pravrittaya,
engaged in devotional service.
Bhaktya, through devotion,
Viraktya,
through detachment,
Jnanena,
through spiritual knowledge,
Vivitya,
considering carefully,
Atmani,
in the body,
Chintayet,
one should contemplate. Therefore, through devotion, detachment, and advancement in spiritual knowledge acquired through concentrated devotional service, one should contemplate that super soul as present in this very body, although simultaneously apart from it. Purport. One can realize the super soul within oneself. He is within one's body, but apart from the body. Or transcendental to the body. Although sitting in the same body as the individual soul, the super soul has no affection for the body, whereas the individual soul does. One has to detach himself, therefore, from this material body by discharging devotional service. It is clearly mentioned here, bhaktya, that one has to execute devotional service to the Supreme. As it is stated in the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.27, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. When Vasudeva, the all-pervading Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is served in completely pure devotion, detachment from the material world immediately begins. The purpose of Sankhya is to detach oneself from material contamination. This can be achieved simply by devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one is detached from the attraction of material prosperity, one can actually concentrate his mind upon the Supersoul. As long as the mind is distracted towards the material, there is no possibility of concentrating one's mind and intelligence upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his partial representation, Supersoul. In other words, one cannot concentrate one's mind and energy upon the Supreme unless one is detached from the material world. Following detachment from the material world, one can actually attain transcendental knowledge of the Absolute Truth. As long as one is entangled in sense enjoyment or material enjoyment, it is not possible to understand the Absolute Truth. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 54. One who is freed from material contamination is joyful and can enter into devotional service, and by devotional service he can be liberated. In the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, it is stated that one becomes joyful by discharging devotional service. In that joyful attitude, one can understand the science of God or Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is not possible. The analytical study of the elements of material nature and the concentration of the mind upon the Supersoul and the sub and substance of the Sankhya philosophical system. The perfection of this Sankhya yoga culminates in devotional service unto the Absolute Truth. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 26th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Om Gana Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangunam Gayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Dinatarinam. Ishvaraha Savabhutanam Riddesh Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna is situated in the heart. Ramayam Savabhutanam Jantra Rudani Mayaya. So, Krishna is realized by the performance of devotional service. But the devotional service can only be effective when one is detached from material nature. Boga aishvarya prasaktanam taya parita cetasam. If one is attached to bhoga, enjoyment, aishvarya, opulence, if one is attached to material enjoyment, then the resolute determination for devotional service doesn't take place. So Prabhupada says here, one has to, in order to see and hear the Supersoul, Hrishikesha, the master of the senses, and he says this is the purpose. The purpose of devotional practice is to speak with Krishna. Speak with Krishna. And he says it can be done. Krishna is situated in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Damni. Right? He's situated in Vrindavan. So he's very, very far away. In order to attain the spiritual realm, one can't actually reach that place by material efforts. And Prabhupada makes a point that despite the fact we have technological advancement and we like to think that we're in control, still we are not able to travel to the spiritual world, Lord Brahma explains. Even if you travel at the speed of the mind, right? Like what have we got? Motor cars can travel, 100, 200, 300 kilometres an hour, right? And we've got rocket ships that can travel at 40, 50,000 kilometres an hour, right? But, you know, we can't even get to the moon. Well, they say we can get to the moon, but we can't stay there. Right? Not to speak of travelling to the furthest reaches of this solar system, and still we can't hope to possibly get to the spiritual realm, which is beyond the coverings of the total universe. Even if we travel at the speed of mind, muni pungavanam, right? Still we'll find that we've still got a long way to go to get to Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is situated. Yet, if one's adept at following the process of devotional service, one can reach Krishna immediately because he's situated also within the heart. He's capable of being in the spiritual world, in the material world, within everything all at once, and yet still remains the original person. And we can approach that original person who's within the heart by the practice of devotional service, but that devotional service has to be pure. In order for us to see and to hear Krishna clearly, One has to avoid the distraction of, or the distractions, plural, of material life, of material existence, of material enjoyment. And that can be done only by the practice of devotional service. And specifically devotional service in the association of the devotees. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti ritkana rasayana kata. By associating with the devotees and hearing the discussions, the topics that are related to Krishna. By associating with the devotees, we associate with Krishna, because the devotees are always satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chida brataha. They're always hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Krishna with great determination. And so by associating with the devotees, we are purified by the practice of devotional service. And so in that way, by regularly hearing and chanting in the and serving in the association of devotees, the heart is gradually purified. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the process of devotional service is automatic, in that one will be purified by the practice of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, following the rules and regulations. But it is not automatic if one doesn't follow that process very, very strictly. So in order to be elevated to that platform of purity, one needs to firmly adhere to the processes of bhakti, to the beginning practice of bhakti. In the beginning stages, we're offensive in our practice and we're distracted from devotional service by the allure of the material energy. But as one makes progress and as one's heart is purified, then one will naturally develop a taste for devotional practice and lose the taste for material pursuits. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. Even we're embodied. And so as a consequence of that embodiment, we have senses, we have desires. The fact that we have a material body means that we'll have material desires. That's why we got the body in the first place. And the material body has been facilitated for us by Krishna as an opportunity to engage in sense gratification. But at the same time, the human form is provided for us as an opportunity to also get out of this attraction and bewilderment by the material energy and be situated again in our constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hoi Nityare Krishna Das. We're always a servant, either directly or indirectly. So the process of devotional service brings us in direct connection with Krishna. And as we follow the process of sadhana bhakti, then we are, by Krishna's mercy and by the grace of the devotees, purified by experiencing the higher taste of devotional practice. One is gradually able to relinquish their attachment and the hold that the material energy has over them. And as one is purified, then one will gradually realize their relationship with Krishna in full. It's mentioned here in this famous verse, Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti tritkana Rasayana Kata. By associating with the devotees, by associating with Krishna and his Virya Sambidho, his wonderful activities, by discussing Krishna's wonderful activities, by meditating on the process of devotional service, Tasjoshanat Ashvapavargarvatmani, one will gradually, quickly be purified in heart, and then Shadhiratiya Bhaktir Anukramishyati, faith, taste, and devotion automatically develops within the heart of a strict practitioner of devotional service. So in the beginning we have some faith. That faith draws us to the devotees, and then in the association of the devotees we follow the process of bhakti and following the process of bhakti, we relinquish or we give up our attachment to material pursuits and gradually develop steadiness in the practice of devotional service. And as that relinquishment of, or the relinquishing of material activities gives way to embracing the process of devotional service, then Krishna and devotional practice and bhakti, real bhakti, develop within the heart. And Krishna is then realized gradually, slowly. Anukramishyati, by the practice of devotional service, gradually. Shanai, shanai, uparamed, by the regular practice of devotional service, as Prabhupada says, little drops of water wear away the stone. When Vasudev, the all-pervading Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is served in completely pure devotion, detachment from the material world immediately begins. This can be achieved simply by devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one has to take advantage of the association of the devotees, and in that association, practice devotional service. Devotional service is already within the heart. It is not an imposition. It's something that exists eternally. Gautama Prabhu mentioned, of course, quoting that verse the other day. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kavunoi Shravanadi Suddha Chitte Karaye Udoi. So devotional, the position of, or the identity of devotion of a devotee is something that resides, that is us, that's who we are. Naturally, it's not something to be imposed, but rather it's something to be uncovered. And as we follow the process of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, and relishing the service that automatically comes, then the natural identity of a devotee will manifest automatically. It's something that will it'll bubble out of the devotee. It'll explode. You see it when the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna in the Sankirtan, then automatically they become very boisterous, they become very jolly, they become very enthusiastic, they become, you know, it's mentioned, even proud. A devotee becomes proud. Ah, I'm a devotee. And they're enthusiastic and bold. And the symptoms of devotion manifest in that chanting loudly, being very boisterous, making loud noises, shouting, dancing, even rolling on the floor. We don't see that. Generally, we discourage rolling on the floor. Because it's easy to imitate. No? Easy to imitate. But it's, see, even belching. No? There's a description of the characteristics of a devotee. Belching. Yawning. No? These are symptoms of, these can be symptoms of devotion. Why would belching be a symptom of devotion? Ate too much prasadam. Huh? What about yawning? Yawning is a symptom of devotion. Got up too early or stayed up too late? Can be a symptom of devotion, would you believe? I just saw an article that was in Japan, sleeping in public is considered a sign of diligence. Right? Even in devotees, even in devotees' circles, if a devotee falls asleep in front of you, that's not considered a bad thing. Right? Is it? Unless he's driving a car. You know, I've often been in meetings and you're having a meeting and then half the people in the room are asleep. Because they're all suffering from jet lag. Now, these can be symptoms of devotion. Where a devotee becomes very jubilant, very happy, very enthusiastic, very ecstatic, simply by following the process of devotional service, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? One becomes very enthusiastic and very determined. And that's achieved simply by the association of the devotees and by chanting Hare Krishna and by doing some very simple seva. Huh? Not very complicated. It is not a very complicated process. And even from these simple practices, one can come to the highest realizations of devotion, of detachment. Prabhupada's quoting these verses from the mentioning these verses from the Bhagavatam 1.2.7, where automatically detachment arises within the heart of those who engage in the practices, the basic practices, and primarily the panchanga bhakti processes give rise to prema. Right? And from that prema or that affection that one has for Krishna, then naturally detachment will arise within the heart. So, sadhu sangha, nam, sankirtan, bhagavat, shravan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, matura vas, residing in a sacred place like Mathura. Of course, that's at going to the temple. Prabhupada says this is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. Why? Because the process of devotional service is practiced here. And worshipping the deity. These five practices pretty much make up the param jishtva, the higher taste that inspires us to continue to increase or to increase and continue develop our devotional service to Krishna. And what helps us relinquish our affection or our attachment to or our attraction to material pursuits. This is why the association of the devotees is so important. Satam prasangam. Mama virya sambhido. Avanti hitkana rasayana kata. The hearing, especially the hearing of the Bhagavad philosophy, the hearing of the holy name, is like rasayana. It's like medicine, right? It's like medicine that cures us from the disease of material affection. Just like being bitten by a snake. One needs to have the right medicine. So we've been bitten by the snake of Maya. We need to take the appropriate medicine to cure us of this snake bite. The Prabhupada gives the example in the Nectar of Devotion, how the expert physician is able to cure the effects of snake bite by chanting the appropriate mantras, something that's an art that's not understood or even known, heard of in the Western world. You know, in Mayapur they have those tantric healers, you get jaundice or whatever, and then you go and see these people and they chant mantras and pour water over you, all the yellow comes out and then you're cured of the jaundice. And so there are people in Mayapur, I know Sadhguru just told me, people in Mayapur, if a person gets bitten by a snake, they go and see these people and they chant mantras and pour water and stuff, and then they cure of snake bite. Right? So you need to know the mantras. So similarly also for the snake bite of material existence, the mantra is the Maha Mantra. Right? That's the cure. And as we become expert in engaging in these five devotional practices, but specifically the chanting of Hare Krishna, then one gradually purifies the heart of this bhoga aishvarya prasaktanam attachment to material enjoyment and opulence, and one becomes attracted to the opulence of the that comes as a consequence of performing devotional service. And it's not easy to become detached from material affection. It's basically what creates the obstacles for progress in devotional practice. But if one sticks, this is why the regulated practice of devotional service is so important, especially as one's moving through the clearing stage, because it's easy to fall back if one's not strict in one's application of the basic practices of devotional service. Then neglect of those basic practices will allow the previous attachments to reignite. Instead of our desires being turned towards Krishna, they'll go back to enjoying the material realm. And that's Maya's job. Her job is to test the devotee, test our sincerity, and thoroughly purify us so that we're fully qualified to re-enter the spiritual realm. One has to remain steadily fixed in that process of sadhana, bhakti. If one wants to achieve the goal, one has to be prepared to expend the effort and to follow the process in order to achieve the destination. You know, if you want to go to Sydney, you don't, you know, drive off towards Adelaide and hope to get to Sydney. Prabhupada makes this point. Right? If you want to go towards Krishna, then there's a specific route in order to get there. Yeyatamam prapantyante, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. But if we don't surrender to Krishna, but expect to get to Krishna, that's foolishness. Just as if you want to go to Sydney, but you drive towards Adelaide expecting to get to Sydney, you're not going to get there. So one has to follow the process, the sadhana. In order to get to the sadhya, one has to follow the sadhana. So this associating with the devotees and hearing and chanting in the association of the devotees is essential in order to develop that sense of detachment. If we're not careful in our association and in the practice of devotional service, then it's inevitable that we'll fall back into the material habits, because we're pleasure seekers by nature. Nandamaya Abhyasat. If we're not getting our pleasure out of devotional practice, then we're going to look for it somewhere else. But by sticking strictly to the process of devotional service, we'll automatically uncover, we'll automatically realize our relationship with Krishna, because we're, by following the regulative principles of devotional service, one becomes purified. Naturally, it's automatic, but one has to strictly apply oneself. Otherwise it won't work. And you know, we see in many devotees, they've been practicing for 30, even 40 years, but they still haven't fully attached themselves to Krishna because of not sticking strictly to the process and allowing the weeds of material attachment to choke up the bhakti lata, or the devotional creeper is choked by the performance of activities that appear like bhakti but are not. It appears as if it's devotional service, but actually it's not. It's still material. There are still material attachments, so one has to be careful and take advantage. We should never become complacent or too familiar with the practice of devotional service, and especially the practice of devotional service in the association of the devotees. That association is Krishna's mercy, and we should always beg for the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas, the devotees, even if it's painful. And it will be painful, because they'll tell us to do stuff and we might not want to do it. This is Rupa Goswami advises us early in the 64 items of devotional service. Fifth or sixth item is to, you know, accept things that you ordinarily wouldn't like, and to give up things that you want to keep. But if we want to remain fixed in the process of bhakti, in the process of devotional service, then we have to be prepared to make some sacrifice. Yajanti hu sumeda saha. That's what we do in the Sankirtan movement. Give people association, take association, and surrender. Accept that which is favourable, reject that which is unfavourable. That's why the association of devotees is important, because they help us discriminate. Otherwise, sometimes we don't know. Or we're covered. We're thinking something's good for us, but actually it's not. Then the devotees come along and say, that's not very good. So, what do you mean, not very good? But we need that. Sometimes we need the external vision, the objective vision of others more advanced, or even sometimes not necessarily even more advanced, just practically aware of what's good for us and what's not. So by embracing the practice of devotional service under the guidance of the devotees, in the association of the devotees, then we can make progress. We'll get a higher taste, and by experiencing the higher taste of devotional practice, we'll then automatically be able to give up the attachments to material existence that are binding us and keeping us in the material existence. And so that's why we should never become familiar with the or critical of the association of the devotees, because that's our only means of success. And you know, Prabhupada gives the example. He gives the example of the little sticks. We're like little sticks, easily broken. Get a little stick, boom, and we're not. But if we come together, if you get a bunch of little sticks and put them all together, and then try to break them, you can't. So individually by ourselves, we're easily snapped. But together as a group, we become very strong, and that's a symptom of the of the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya, of the Sankirtan mission. And Prabhupada said, not to the GBC men that he was talking to, he said, not one of you alone, when talking about the leadership of ISKCON and who will be the leader of ISKCON, Prabhupada said, not one of you alone, but all of you together. So we should never underestimate that, the process of bhakti, and because it is very simple, it's not very complicated, it is not very difficult. But its simplicity covers its potency, the power of bhakti. And we get that by simply associating with the devotees. And when we associate with the devotees, then what do? Sankirtanam. Hearing the Bhagavat Katha, engaging in the Sankirtan, worshipping Murti Seva, worshipping the deity, associating together in a sacred place like a temple. You know, this temple is not actually, as Prabhupada said, not actually in Melbourne. When we enter into the perimeter of this location, especially when we enter into this space here, then we've actually left the material world. We're not in the material world anymore. This is a spiritual embassy. Right? So when you enter into this location, you've just left material existence. We don't notice it sometimes because we bring it with us. But I remember going on Sankirtan and you know, you're engaging with the with materialistic people all of the time, and so by the end of the day you're exhausted. But I remember that the feeling of exhilaration and relief when we were driving the back gate and parked the Sankirtan car in the backyard and then take your wig off. That was always a relief. Oh, I don't know why we did that when you think about it. But, you know, just to come back into the temple and it's like, whew, everything's just peaceful. Peaceful. Very powerful. And we know it. We people come to the temple and they say, this place, you just, out, you know, materialistic people come to the temple, they sit in the courtyard and they say, oh, this is special. Huh? This is special because it gives us a direct connection to the spiritual realm. So that's why we value these practices. We value the location, because in this location, that's where we perform those activities that release us from material existence. That's why we keep on coming back. Because we know, I'm not in the material world anymore. I'm in the spiritual world. So that constant practice at the end of the Brahma Samhita, the verses of the Brahma Samhita that we study, is mentioned. What is it? Determination, constant practice, theistic conduct, right? Astikyam. Adherence to Vedic culture, basically, elevates us automatically out of material existence and puts us into the spiritual consciousness, into the spiritual realm. So we value that. And that comes about through sacrificing our material conditioning and placing ourselves under the influence of the spiritual conditioning, which is done by the practice of devotional service. And you know, that's manifest in pratyakshavagamam dhamyam, direct perception of the spiritual, of the self, and susukam katam abhyayam, the devotees are naturally happy. This is our litmus test in one sense. How do we know if a devotee is making spiritual advancement? Despite all problems, he's still happy. There's always going to be problems. We're in the material world, and so material world means problems. Never was there a time when there wasn't a problem. Even in the spiritual world there's problems. And that's what makes it fun. You know, there's politics in the spiritual world. Wherever Krishna is, there's politics. So, yep. But that makes life interesting in the spiritual world. In the material world, it also makes life interesting. But by sticking to the process, just sticking to the practice of devotional service, then one automatically will transcend the problems. Now, Srila Prabhupada is a good example of how to face the challenge, because we're preaching. And there's always going to be resistance to that. There's always going to be some challenges and some obstacles. But the process of devotional service is always superior and overcomes those temporary material obstacles. And so the devotees are philosophical. It's mentioned here, isn't it? One has to analyze. What is it here? It mentions one has to analyze the, and this is the Samkhya process, analyze the material energy. And the analysis of the material energy is ultimately to see the spiritual. Right? And as it mentioned here, to see the super soul. The process of devotional service automatically will reveal the presence of Krishna within the heart. Prabhupada says, this is the goal. Each one of us should be speaking to Krishna within the heart. Well, that's our goal. That's our ultimate destination. How close are we to it? What did Krishna say to you today? Get out of bed. Go to the temple. Chant your rounds. But Prabhupada says, Krishna is present. Hrishikesha is present. And by the practice, by the process of devotional service, we should be engaged in a conversation with him. And that's done by the practice of pure devotional service. In the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, it is stated that one becomes joyful. What is that? What is that? What's that verse? First canto. Prabhupada says it here. In the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, it is stated that one becomes joyful by discharging devotional service. Which is that verse? Gyanam vairagyam ahoitukam. What's the next line? Huh? Yes. Yayatma jaina suprasiddhati. Suprasiddhati means very, very happy or joyful. Yayatmas suprasiddhati. So what's the beginning of that verse? Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhakti redokshaje ohoitaki ohoitukam. Is it not? Apratihata ahoitaki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. Yeah. So the topmost occupation, paro dharmo, is devotional service. Huh? And then automatically comes knowledge and detachment. I think it's in the next verse that's mentioned. Oh no, yeah. Jnana vairagyam, ahoitaki, comes automatically. We don't have, by the process of devotional service, we'll automatically become knowledgeable. And detached, and super joyful. In that joyful attitude, one can understand the science of God or Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is not possible. The analytical study of the elements of material nature and the concentration of the mind upon the supersoul of the sum and substance of the Sankhya philosophical system. The perfection of this Sankhya Yoga culminates in devotional service unto the Absolute Truth. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the third canto, 26th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, the next chapter is entitled Understanding Material Nature. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Mm-hmm.
better that it comes naturally. Right? Just like when you first join the Hare Krishna temple in Melbourne, it's very hard to refrain from eating all of the Mahaprasadam. Right? Although it is impossible. Right? I tried it more than once to eat every offering every day. But my digestive system couldn't cope. Krishna can eat 7 offerings a day, but we can't. 3's probably. You know, and usually you put on about 3 to 5 kilograms very quickly. In fact, you know, you see it with the ladies. They come to Krishna consciousness, and men do it too. Then they expand. Right? And so then they decide, I'm just going to eat salad. Right? So that all they do is eat salad for a while. But then, you know, the 7 o'clock offering. They've been eating salad all day, but then there's the 7 o'clock offering. And, you know, when I joined up, there were some amazing cooks. Or in the 80s, 70s, late 70s, early 80s. Ganga Mayi, Sri Hari Bhakti, Achicharupa, Sri Lekha, Korma. And so, you know, you've been out on Sankirtan all day eating your salad. Then you come home and then there's the maha. The devotees used to fight over the maha, physically fight. And Ananya Bhak, Dhammantari, they would fight to get the maha. I think they still do, right? So, very, very difficult to overcome the attraction of Mahaprasadam. Or, you know, I mentioned this before, the devotees decide, okay, I won't go to breakfast with a big plate, I'll just go with a small plate. But then they pile the plate right up. So, but gradually as one makes advancement, then one learns to be temperate. Right? And as we gain a relish for chanting Hare Krishna and a more philosophical, steady, stable philosophical understanding of our place and our level of advancement, then we'll naturally be satisfied by a regulated prasadam regime. And we won't feel so the need for large quantities of prasadam. But even Lord Chaitanya encourages us to, just like that. Did you have the feast on Saturday? Anybody not have Jaisachi, the feast that Jaisachi cooked on Saturday? You didn't? You missed out. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Disappearance Day feast. Man, it was good. I can still remember it. You know, all the things that I shouldn't eat. So we have that opportunity on the festival days, Lord Chaitanya. It's mentioned, Lord Chaitanya would feed everybody as much as 5 people could eat. So we still have that opportunity, but we do it in a regulated way, right? So we'll still have, you know, sort of Prabhupada. You know, the devotees used to occasionally put Prabhupada on a health food diet. Prabhupada used to say, you know, let them go to hell. Let me go to hell with their health food diet. Let me take prasadam. By following the regulated principles of devotional service, we'll gradually develop an attachment for things spiritual, and even though the residue of material attachment will automatically be diminished by the practice of devotional service. So we can't imitate or artificially cultivate renunciation, because this is what happens. You go on a salad diet, right? But then the power of prasadam will overcome you eventually. So then you'll eat the malpuras and the sweet rice and the gulab jamuns and whatever else happens to be there. I recall on more than one occasion, it's a codicil, right? And you go out on Sankirtan and you come back totally fried. Not fried, but just tired. Tired. And I've gone to the cool room and seen the chapatis. I thought, oh, great, look at the chapatis. They studied the chapatis. And then 5 minutes later, I realised, it's a codicil, what am I doing? Thinking, how come those chapatis are there? I didn't realise there's so many chapatis because it's a codicil. We need to learn the art of positive engagement, so that we can, because Krishna says, what will repression accomplish? We will act. And so the art of action is to know how to engage all of our sensual, emotional, intellectual propensities in devotional practice. Otherwise, we'll do it anyway. That's why Krishna says to Arjuna, you're going to fight anyway. So might as well do it as part of devotional service. That's the art and the practice of devotional life, is to learn how to engage all of our natural propensities in Krishna's service. Because if we artificially try to repress or to neglect any of those things, they'll come out anyway. So the positive engagement, or the positive alternative. The devotees used to have a double-decker bus that they would travel around Australia, and it was the Hare Krishna movement, the positive alternative. Not the big renunciates. Because the big renunciates usually fall down. Better to be a practical servant of Krishna and engage our natural propensities in Krishna's service, because they'll come out some other way that may not be pretty. Is that okay? Yeah. Anything else? What's it?
Just a comment.
Sure.
Because of the Mahaprasadam, they deliver the children, they have hormonal changes, it's not only from Mahaprasadam. And me personally, I eat only salads in the morning because they have more dana for health.
I'm not suggesting.
I felt like not right.
Yeah, but you're not. We don't see you raiding the Mahaprasadam because you're frustrated.
No, I'm not frustrated. Yep. I'm thinking, everyone has its own problems, and everyone has to just not do whatever they want.
No. But, at our age, we're not raiding the Mahaprasadam. So salad diet's okay, it's fine. But when you see the 23-year-olds on a salad diet, you know that it's only a matter of time before they're raiding the Mahaprasadam. I eat a simple diet also. But I do like the festivals also. And I eat things that I shouldn't eat. But I think, let's take prasadam. Yes, okay, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.